Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled, Why Even Ambitious People Rarely Become Successful. One important key to success is self-confidence. An important key to self-confidence is preparation, said Arthur Ashe. Success is not extrinsic. It's not measurable. Success can only truly occur internally because it is based on emotion. At the most basic level, success is your relationship with yourself. Most people are living a lie. They purposefully ignore and distract themselves from what deep down they want for themselves. This has happened many a time. Why? Because children tend to live the lives their parents want for them. Their parents do the thinking for them. The parents decide what profession they want their children in, because what it is it fills an emotion in the parent to say, my son the doctor, my son the lawyer, instead of looking at what would make that individual happy. Because if you try to fulfill your life according to someone else's standards, you are not going to be happy. You need to do something that will truly make you happy. People who are entrepreneurs, they're entrepreneurs because they have an idea, they want to make it work. They know what it is that they truly want to do, and they go for it without letting anyone else tell them what they should do. The problem is that for so many of us, we depend on other people to fulfill an emotion within us, and you know what? That's not happiness. Happiness comes from within. Any emotion that you feel comes from within you. Many people want something more than themselves. They have dreams and ambitions, yet few of these people ever get what they intended. Being ambitious isn't enough. Far more important than ambition is commitment. When you're committed to something, you will be and do what is required for the attainment of that thing. You'll stop wondering and stop building. You'll stop being distracted and start learning. You'll start connecting. You'll start failing. You'll get what you want rather than have a long list of ambitions. You'll have actual accomplishments that reflect on your inner goals and values. Your external environment will reflect your deepest internal views and aims. If you're committed to a marriage, you'll change in whatever ways are necessary for your marriage to thrive. You'll become what is required to make it work. If you're committed to your craft, you'll change and become what is required to do. Work at the level that you desire. You won't point to your limitations with a victim mentality. You'll change your limitations so they stop stopping you. Only those who are truly committed will become a new and different person in order to live that commitment. If you're not willing to change, then you aren't committed to anything beyond what you currently have. If you don't believe you can change, then you can't commit to anything beyond what life randomly throws at you. And here I'm going to back up and talk and tell you a little bit about a story about myself. Why? Because it can show you how society can hold someone back, and at the same time, how if you let society dictate to you what is right and what is wrong, or what you're capable of, then you will never succeed. And guess what? You will turn around and you will put the brakes on your ambition rather than choosing to rise above and think outside the box and come up with ways to live the best quality of life possible within your limits. I grew up in an era which was the 1950s. And during the 1950s, that was a quaint, quiet little time when few people questioned the norms. It wasn't until the 60s when you saw kind of a revolution of sorts, in that people became more aware of what was going on around them socially. But at that time, people or society did not even acknowledge that it had a disability community, much less allow people with disabilities the opportunity for an education or the opportunity for employment. It wasn't until 1977, or rather, let's back up. It wasn't until the 1960s that you started seeing enactments of agencies that served people with disabilities. And then you started seeing laws emerge from Congress that addressed issues affecting people with disabilities. And it wasn't until 1977 that Congress passed the law, which is the Individual Disability Education Act, that guarantees people with disabilities the right to an education. And it wasn't until because of IDEA, in 1990, Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act, which addressed employment, which addressed accessibility. And with the ADA, you also had a clause that allowed people with disabilities who were being discriminated against to be able to sue a company if they could guarantee or if they could prove that this was all going on. But prior to that, you just didn't see those things. But I was educated because my disability is very mild, but the disability does affect how I learn, how I process information, because it's a neuromuscular disability. It's cerebral palsy, or in my case, spastic hemiplegia, because it really just affects one side of my body. But at the same time, because I was different, because I wore braces, and my disability was very obvious, because there were no laws guaranteeing people with disabilities the right to an education, there was no such thing as seeing people with disabilities in a school, much less a classroom. So I was different, and the kids didn't understand it because they never saw it, and therefore they didn't know how to react to me any other way than to tease me. And teachers didn't understand that how I learned differently. So I was always two or three steps behind everyone else. Well, yes, education was very difficult for me because I had to basically go and catch up on my own, because I just was not able to keep up in the classroom. Therefore, it took me that I would have graduated in 1969, but did not graduate till a year later, and went a half day to school the next year because there were a couple of credits or classes that I had failed, and I needed to retake that class. And so I took some extracurricular classes in addition. And then during that summer, I went to college rather than waiting to the fall and took some pre-college courses to prepare. But I really did not excel until I entered or started taking classes towards my degree, which was my sophomore year. Because then the basic courses of math and science and anything that, especially math, because sometimes, and I realized this on my own, and it was never brought out to me by any teacher, but I realized it when I was in graduate school, that sometimes what I see and what I write down become two different things. And yet, for all those years that I got the wrong answers in math, no teacher ever saw where my mistake was. So what I'm saying is that had I let that hold me back, I would never have gotten the education that I have. And had I had let the fact that it was that other than working for the state or any government, there was no opportunities for me in the corporate world. Therefore, I had to figure out what it was that I was going to do that would allow me the opportunity to feel the success and learn to believe in myself, mainly because everyone else around me, what I was hearing was, you can't succeed, you're going to fail, you can't. And if you look at what Eric Byrne talked about in the I'm okay, you're not okay, or when he talks about transactional analysis, when it's the adult, the parent, and the child. The child always says, I want. The adult says, I am able to. And the parent says, you should. And the message that I was getting from my parents is that I should just accept that I have limitations, that I can't achieve anything, that I will never live on my own, that I will never be independent or whatever. And had I chosen to accept that, I would not have been doing this show for 10 years. I would not have been having the opportunities that I've had simply because I chose not to accept what society was telling me. The myth of the unchanging self. Become a millionaire, not for the $1 million, but for what it will make of you to achieve it, said Jim Rohn. Your life is a reflection of you. If you want to change your life, you have to change yourself. If you want to change the world, if you want to have to be that change, if you want to become a millionaire, you need to become the kind of person that can do that. If you want healthy relationships, you need to become that person that has a healthy relationship. Interestingly, in our Western culture, we falsely emphasize fixed traits and personality types. We believe very strongly in an unalterable nature, which is influenced and untouched by the environments in which we reside. Basically, what they're saying is that there are so many different things that influence who we are and how we get there. It's our peers, it's our teachers, it's our parents, it's what we see in the environment around us when you live in the heat where you spend a lot of time in air conditioning to compensate for that heat, or you grow up in a cold environment, where you get snow and severe winters where you're inside and you get more dark days. But those things influence us. The activities that we participate in, if you're active in sports, you will always be active as an adult. If you tend to be someone, and this is why for years when the schools quit with the break of a PE or the gym or whatever, where kids learn to play team sports, to work as a team, to do things for the good of other people rather than just themselves. So who we are isn't just the family that we make up, that we're born into, or the genetics. It's learned behaviors that happen from observing our parents. Some people become alcoholics because it's genetically inbred to them because they have an addictive behavior. And it doesn't matter what that addiction is, it's that they're doing something they enjoy. And if that addictive behavior, if they've gotten into alcohol and drugs, and that makes them feel better about themselves, then they learn and they want to recreate that high, and that's where the addiction comes from. We believe something about us is self-contained and exists outside of space and time. This is individualism at its finest, and it leads us to believe in some theoretical and true version of ourselves, which cannot and does not change. And we do have things that are inbred into us through our genetics, but that's all just part of who we are and how we live our lives. So there's just so many things that you can look at, and you know what? You can always change your behavior. It's just learning new ways to react to a situation. Just because you had a parent that was abusive does not mean that you're going to be abusive. But if you recognize that you do have those tendencies, then you can always learn how to break that behavior, because you can go to parenting classes today. You can learn how to, instead of responding one way to a situation, turn it around and respond in a totally different way. The truth is that you are always changing. Your brain and even biology are highly malleable. Your worldview is continually integrating new information. When you change a part of your system, you change the whole. Thus, over time, as you have new experiences, surround yourself with new people and learn new things, you emerge as a new person. Yet, these changes occur gradually and in real time, and thus are almost impossible for you to notice. And you know what? This often happens for a child or a teenager as they go off to college, because they don't always have the parent there to make their decision for them. So they have to learn how to be responsible for themselves. And it's learning how to manage your time better. It's learning how to study better. It's learning how to take more responsibility and earn a living. It's the transitioning from childhood to adulthood, where you are beginning to learn to be independent of your parents. Yes, As you learn these things over time, your brain literally creates new connections and is reshaped. The brain you will have in a year from now will literally be a different brain than the one you have now, especially if you consciously reshape how you see and live the world. Remember, as a baby, they're so innocent that they're taking all the information in. They're blind slates to be written on. But with each growing year, as they become more aware of what's going on around them, then they begin to take on more responsibility. A newborn is totally dependent on the parents. A 4 or 5-year-old is very questioning on why they should do something. A teenager is ready to break out and become more independent. So as you can see, with each decade, things change and you become more independent. Yet, as you learn new things over time, your brain literally creates new connections and is reshaped. When you become fully committed to something, you throw the individualistic myth away. You are part of a dynamic system that is constantly changing. When you're committed, you stop justifying mediocrity in the name of authenticity. You stop lying to yourself about what you want and what you believe in. You create an environment that facilitates your commitment, because you know that as a person, you take on the form of your environment. So why not look for new ways to change and believe in yourself and think about why ambitious people rarely become successful. It's more internal, how you think about yourself, how you understand where you're coming from. And you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personalcareercoach.com. Not only can we help you come up with a mission or a purpose for your life, but we can also help you with assessment tools to help you learn more about who you are and what makes you happy so you can live the best quality of life possible.